Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, now up on TSN 2. Brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. It's a smoky day here in Toronto. Literally smoky, you know, in southern Ontario, throughout New York. It's wild. It's happening all across the country. But the Jays are back in action tonight, and the Dome will be closed.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful night. Like, this is textbook Dome open Wednesday night Florida type activity. But better safe than sorry. And yeah. I'll be honest, like, I figured we'd be here pro-am today. They weren't going to stop it. They're not going to shut down the tournament. But I was thinking it's possible. Like, when I walked out my door this morning, I was shocked by the smell of smoke.
Right.
Like, it hasn't affected me or anything. I'm joking around that when I hit a bad shot, it was the smoke's fault. But you could feel it. Like, the air in Toronto right now is, it's weird, man.
Well,
it's just different. It's just off, and it's hazy, and
that's all I see. I don't smell anything. I don't see anything. I just see, you know, how you look up and you see the blue sky.
Yeah,
that's not there.
It's not a blue sky.
No, I saw.
Yeah, it's a shade of blue, but like, these shots of New York are
crazy,
wild.
Man.
Yeah,
they're wild.
Well, no, I actually, like, it smelled like barbecue, like, you know, wood burning. But it was like in your nose, like you didn't know where it was. The minute I walked out this morning, took the kids to school, I was like, this is weird.
Yeah.
And we got the email, you know, from our school saying the kids are going to stay in at recess and lunch today.
Yeah,
based on that, right?
Yep, so, mine too.
Man, oh man, you hope it gets sorted.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking about that Ottawa Senators deal. Someone just tweeting in saying you got to ask Dreger about it, as if we have any updates, but...
Well, Dregs might have a little bit of insight, but...
would have some updates, but at some point, this is going to... Like, it's not like they have to have it done before the draft or before free agency, but you'd think before the start of next season, right? You'd want to introduce a new owner and move on with things.
I think what you need is... Like, what we're craving is answers. You know, it sounds like they're down final bids, they're sorting through all that. I mean, I cover those games. So at first it was supposed to be, the ownership will be switched by March. New owner coming in before the end of the season. Now is April, then May, and, you know, hoping by the end of June. I don't know. I follow Bruce Garriott, and Garriott's a guy who is kind of dialed up into that situation. Mm-hmm. And there's times where he's like, yeah, it sounds like this group, sounds like that group. But, you know, the NHL has to make their decision. Sounds like it's going to be about $1 billion, which is good.
It's a lot of money.
Valuation.
For the Melnick family. And...
Exactly, for the family, but as
but
well
what,
as the valuation.
What is the holdup?
Well, I don't know, but don't you think it would be the due diligence of both sides? You know, if you're buying the team, you got to figure out, okay, you're going to get a new building, and are you going to get that land? Are you going to buy the land around it?
Jamie, I totally understand all of that. I just figured out they would have made a selection on who's going to go through that process.
Well, I keep hearing it's a land play, too. So, because you're going to develop everything around it. That's why you're seeing these companies that a lot of them are developers, rich, you know, wealthy developers.
Right. That's because, where they almost see the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and the team comes with it, you know, and a new building.
Exactly. And, I mean, Ryan Reynolds dropped out weeks ago. Like, he hasn't been a part of the news cycle in a long time.
Yeah. He hitched his wagon to the one group, and they're out.
And they're out.
Yeah.
So, see you later. Here's Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. We're just speculating openly here, Dregs, which is always a smart thing to do on live mics.
It's our move.
Yeah, it's our move about what could be happening in Ottawa. But what is your understanding here of a timeline for new ownership?
Well, there is no timeline, and that's the unfortunate reality here. And I heard you guys talking, and Garriott has been on it from day one, right? Like, this guy has been dialed in on this story. And I think that all along he's been led to believe that, okay, you know, a decision is imminent. The announcement is right around the corner, all of those things. But I've been reminded as of yesterday that why should there be pressure for a timeline aside from the obvious? And, you know, if you're Pierre Dorion, the general manager, you're going about your business. Likewise, DJ Smith and you know, his coaching staff. The hockey operations isn't suffering because there's an uncertainty with ownership. So the NHL, the bank involved, the Melnick family involved, they want to make sure that everything is done correctly. And they're getting top dollar. I mean, who's getting new? At the end of the day, isn't that what this is all about? And I heard you talking, Noodles, and you're right. I mean, top dollar includes the complexity of the land that's associated here. And, right. you know, the building of a new multi-purpose facility and what all that entails. And guys, trust me, the remaining groups here, and I don't think this would come as a surprise to anyone, are somewhat unique in that you've got, you know, the primary investor. Okay, that person wants everything to do with the Ottawa Senators Hockey Club. But maybe he's got a partner that's come in at lesser value, but still significant money, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. He's less interested in the hockey play and more interested in the land development. And I think that's what's punched, you know, the numbers on this deal, you know, well north of $1 billion Canadian dollars. So you're talking about a very complicated process, and no matter what we in media say, the timeline matters only to those who are working on the complexity of this deal and making sure that it's done right when it's finally wrapped up.
Darren, I talked to someone on this show and made a wager of $500.
Wow.
One of us said Columbus would make the playoffs, and the other said they wouldn't.
Okay.
Who would you lean on for 500? Which way would you lean?
In terms of that they wouldn't make the playoffs, what, next year, or this was a
next
preseason?
Season.
I'm going 500. They make it.
I told you, dude. I told you, Hayes. I told you.
What's with you two? Explain this, because Mike Babcock's coming in?
I mean, did you watch them play this year? They were awful. There's some good pieces. Marwanski was hurt. They got a new coach. Yes. He knows how to coach. You got to give him that.
I will give him that.
And he'll make it known to Mr. Laine and Gaudreau and company.
Oh, will he? It's Patrick Laine? He's going to all of a sudden start
listening? It's business as usual.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, Trex. Explain yourself how you think Columbus will make it.
Hey, look, I'm with O-Dog. Getting a healthy Werenski back full-time is huge. And then you add Provorov into the mix, and I'm in his camp from a hockey standpoint. You know, this guy can play the game. So they're better defensively. I feel like Jarmo Kekalainen, even though he doesn't manage with job security or lack thereof in mind, I think he knows that he's got to get something done. He's got to get it done and get it done now. You don't go out and pay the bucks that they did to Johnny Gaudreau and then make a trade like they made this week and not be all in to at least make the playoffs and then hire Mike Babcock on top of all of that. So if they don't make the playoffs, then the conversation we have at that point will be much different because people will have lost their jobs. So I think a healthier team and the moves that I expect Jarmo to make beyond the coach and what we've seen already, that's going to bolster this team. They should be playoff worthy.
That's where I want to reserve my, I guess, choice until I see what he does more, because it sounds like he is doing more. Yeah. Because you bring in Provorov, you're looking for help.
Go Jackets.
Now
doing more. So
no, what I'm saying is, but what if this guy acquires two more quality players? And
does he have $130 million in cap space where no one else does? But how's he going to do this?
Well, you could trade people, and I'm not privy to what they have. I'll look right now, their cap space and all of that, but I'm pretty sure they're in decent shape.
Yeah.
Moving forward, and. Yeah. Honestly,
hey,
Go ahead, Drex. No, I was just talking about their cap space. That's all I was talking about.
Okay, hold on a sec here, though. And I was reminded of this yesterday by GM, who said that, okay, leading up to that three-way trade with the Flyers, the Kings, and the Columbus Blue Jackets, there was a ton of activity trade-wise. And I know that sounds cliche because we always talk about it, you know, a month leading up to the trade deadline. Now the draft is around the corner, and it just seems like we're juicing a market. But no, he says legit. And it has more to do now with there was hope among general managers that the cap was going to go above the $1 million flat increase. Well, they don't think it's going to be. And Bettman doubled down again at his Stanley Cup availability and said it's not happening. So these guys are getting super creative. They are in making quote unquote hockey deals. We just did insider trading, which probably hasn't even aired yet on SportsCenter, talking about what's coming in Winnipeg. Well, Look at the offseason of the Winnipeg Jets. So Pierre-Luc Dubois, as Pierre Lebrun just talked about, I mean, he's not signing. He's not signing. So he's going to get traded, very likely. Mark Scheifele, very likely getting traded. Connor Hellebuyck going into the final year of his contract. They're not going to let him walk out as an unrestricted free agent. So the healthiest environment to make trades of that significance are now at the draft, in the offseason, not at the trade deadline. So imagine if those players come into the market, what that can do. So you can, if you're a team as hungry as the Columbus Blue Jackets seem to be, maybe you can make a considerable change.
If that Hellebuyck somehow says, I don't want to stick around, who is breaking down that door to talk to Chevy first?
Well, I'm sure it's already happened, though. You know, this isn't a news flash, right? And Connor Hellebuyck has made it abundantly clear. Well, and I'll back up a little bit here. Obviously, Chevy doesn't want to trade those players, but he cannot get back into a situation where there's no recovery and there's no significant return.
No kidding.
And Hellebuyck wants to win, like every player in the league. He wants to win. He just has the clout as a former Vezina winner to say, okay, well, I'm just telling you flat out here that I'm not going to be the last man standing. So if you are trading Pierre-Luc Dubois and Scheifele is going and there's kind of rumblings about a Wheeler buyout, I mean, you're talking about the core of the Winnipeg Jets. So Connor Hellebuyck isn't standing in the background with his arm up saying, yeah, rebuild around me or retool around me. So that's why I think it's an interesting environment for Chevy and for the Winnipeg Jets in general. When, as a manager and as an ownership group, do you recognize that the return isn't getting better than it might be in the weeks and the next couple of months? And that includes Connor Hellebuyck. Trust me, it does.
I mean, I can think of three organizations right now that would be breaking his door down. Buffalo, Ottawa, and the LA Kings if they don't get Corposalo sorted out.
Yeah.
He's unrestricted.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, those are three. They just, I know LA moved out Cal Peterson, and that might, you know, help with a Gavrikov extension. But if they don't get Corposalo sorted out and LA looks to upgrade, that's I would link them there. Ottawa, Cam Talbot's unrestricted. You know, Forsberg's got another year. They got kids that are coming up. They still need growth. Like, how would Ottawa look with a goaltender that you trusted night in and night out, you know, based on they had seven goaltenders run through their team last year.
I know.
Same thing with Buffalo. They need a goal. How many times have we said that team is a goaltender away from maybe turning the corner? So those are the three that I look at. I don't know how you guys feel.
Yeah, no, that makes all the sense in the world.
It does.
But will he sign with any of those spots?
Well, like and isn't that part of the deal?
Right.
Like, it has to be. And without investing too much time in this, automatically, you guys as former players, all three of you, high-level players.
Think
this through for me. I love Ottawa because of the promise that I see and you know, what we expect from the Ottawa Senators in the not-too-distant future. But if you're at a place in your career where Connor Hellebuyck is, you've got to use your options, Noodles, and I think they're all valid. L.A.,
right.
Buffalo, Ottawa. What order are you going in if you're Hellebuyck? And maybe you don't have a choice if L.A. is already, you know, tied their wagon to Corposalo. It's very valid. However, again, given those choices, I would think it would be L.A., maybe Buffalo, and then Ottawa because of the Canadian market might be the third option.
Yeah, I'm curious what happens there in Winnipeg if they go down that road where Dubois gets flipped, maybe Scheifele gets flipped, maybe they decide they move on from Hellebuyck. And, like, can they at that point just admit they're not going to be very good in the future? Or do you feel like they have to come out and pretend like we're still trying to be competitive? Because I thought I read that this week, that if they move on from guys, they're going to try to remain competitive.
Right.
Well, like, is that really the right play? They snuck into the playoffs and they got smoked by Vegas.
But, I mean, they would be too good to bottom out.
How? They missed the playoffs last year. They barely got in this year and they got smoked by Vegas.
Ehlers, Connor.
Okay. Goudreau. Like, I can give you bad teams with good players.
What I'm saying is those guys will get traded. If you're trading Pierre-Luc Dubois, you're not getting a fourth-rounder for him. You're getting a good player.
How about picks and prospects?
Well, potentially, but
that's
also,
what I'm saying.
But
instead
if you trade three of them, you're not going to do picks and prospects for all three of those players that move out that we're talking about.
If you acknowledge you're not good enough, that's probably a smart play, though, is what I'm saying, Noodles.
Yeah.
Like, maybe say, you know what, we're building for 3 years down the road. We got to chew on it here.
And what happens then, fellas, and I don't know that this is a concern. I think it's just a natural processing. So if they do half of what we've talked about here, or they do all of it,
right,
then are you setting yourself up for the next wave of that? Like Nick Ehlers and Kyle Connor aren't sitting there, you know, 2 years from now and times aren't going great. You think they're going to be the ones that are going to go, okay, yeah, well, you know, first round of guys hung in there and stuck it through, so I guess we need to. No, I mean, that's part of the unfortunate process in Winnipeg, and I think that has to be considered by ownership and management. So I think they can stay competitive, and I'm with you, Noodles. I think the return for 1, 2, 3 of those guys has to restabilize the team to at least keep you in the playoff mix or hunt or a contending playoff team. I don't think you can win Stanley Cups without those guys because, you know, you're going to need,
right,
you know, whatever you're getting back is going to be younger just, you know, because or have term. So it's trying times. It's interesting. I'd like to tell you how it's going to end up in Winnipeg. I just know what I'm hearing. And the opportunity for complete turnover is significant there.
Right. Well, and that's what I guess I'm getting to.
No,
there's
valid.
A fork in the road, right? Like you can go that way, and it very well, you know, could. Maybe you're a playoff team, you're good, but this is also, you know, possibly, you know, once in a generation opportunity to do what the Leafs did 8, 9 years ago, do what Montreal is doing, right? And it's difficult to do.
Right.
But it may be a situation where you say, you know what, we tried with these guys, it didn't work. We're not going to try to bandage stuff together here.
No, they don't have a choice, man.
We're going to reset here and bring in picks and prospects and turn stuff over.
They have to, like,
and go a different direction.
We've also established, too, like, those markets, like, Winnipeg isn't a free agent destination for a lot of players, right? So you have to draft and develop there. That's basically what Chevy has to do.
Shifley, Ehlers,
right,
Connor, Hellebuck,
that's
Morrissey.
That's the danger, too, though. The guys that actually like it there and want to stay, if those other core pieces leave, they're going to be saying, what the hell do I want to spend the prime of my career here when everyone's gone?
Right, and I understand that.
Right.
And that's a very difficult conversation to have.
Then it becomes scorched earth.
Then it's scorched earth.
Yeah.
And then, hold on, just to interject quickly, and we can end the Winnipeg conversation with this if you want. And I'm not laying blame at the feet of anyone in Winnipeg. Stuff happens as a team. It just doesn't always come together the way you hoped and you tried to develop. Connor Hellebuck is the guy that you guys have just talked about, the guy who wanted to be in Winnipeg, right? Wanted nothing more than to win in Winnipeg. Guy goes ice fishing on his days off. Like, I mean, you know, he's embraced Winnipeg. So, you know, if the decision is that you got to cut bait on him to get everything you need in return and not risk him going into the final year of his contract, that's just the way things have gone. Hockey's a tough business, but that's not on Hellebuck.
Yep. All right, Dregs. You think Florida still got a shot in this before we get you out of here?
Yeah, I think they win a game, but I'll tell you, I mean, the way that Vegas is playing right now and kind of the undisciplined play of the Florida Panthers, I'm skeptical. Hey, rumor has it that you were like -1 at some point.
Yes.
Brian Hayes, is that correct?
I don't need to corroborate
first
reports.
Shift in Barry.
That is actually 100%. Don't touch that penny.
That's tough.
Don't touch that
penny. I've had enough of it. It's gross.
Yeah, look what you started now. Exactly. Now we get Mark Zucchino's coming in. Zucchino's probably seen tape. He might have been part of the play-by-play because up here on 13, there's a camera on 13, Dregs.
Yeah.
I hit a brutal 9-iron in, a world-class chip.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And then a 3-wiggle pickup, snapping, steaming, brutal putt.
Yeah, John Daly at Pinehurst.
Was that the actual four putt where he didn't finish?
Somebody no, that was like, on 18. That was about an hour later.
Trending
actually.
On the internet
yeah.
right now.
Ernie Els at Augusta. It's not good. Thank you, Dregs.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
There he is. Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. All right, we got our picks coming up courtesy of TaylorMade. Let's get Mark Zucchino in here to help us with the picks.
For sure.
Yes.
All right, maybe Mark can give us some idea of where we should be going this week. Obviously, Mark's he's a man on the scene up here, doing what he always does up here at Oakdale. So Mark Zucchino, our buddy from Golf Talk Canada, he will join us in studio next. All right, Best Bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. We'll also get to our picks for the week, the RBC Canadian Open. We've been here all week. We're going to continue to be here all week. So our picks brought to you by TaylorMade later in the hour. But we're not alone. We're not the only crew that's here, right? First up, arrived this morning. They've been putting in time in the Golf Talk Canada crew. They've been kicking it up here. They've been doing their thing, and the man leading that charge joins us around the table, our buddy Mark Zucchino. How you doing, Mark?
I'm great, boys. Good to see you in person. Usually
yes.
It's over a phone or whatnot, but once a year we get to do it around a table.
Did you guys shred him today?
Well, I'm usually defending Brian most of the time when it's an O-Dog Brian golf bet.
Yes,
but today,
yes.
Just to be authentic, just to, you know, we got to be journalists.
You saw
first.
Some things that haunted your life.
I tried not to look directly into the putting stroke because it is contagious.
Disgusting.
It's contagious.
It's disgusting.
Doesn't you seeing it make you want to like work on it?
I want to stop playing. Is what I
That's what I
doing.
Did. I just stopped playing and just started. I tuned up the red wine, and you know what? Golf's way more enjoyable since I stopped playing.
That is what I need to start doing. Like, my putting is so awful.
Here it is.
Like, I actually putted well,
chip.
Though, Mark.
This
is a lovely
a
shot here.
Yeah. That's world class. Like, even Graham DeLette said, hey, dude, nice chip. Yeah. And then he's like, your putting's pathetic. So thank you.
Adam and I, Scully and I, are calling up and down here.
Yep.
And you made liars out of us.
And then at this point, I'm begging for someone to yell, pick it up.
This is my favorite, right? Yeah.
And then, no, and get out of here. And then I knew you guys were watching. And Mutombo.
You gave us, there you go.
Mutombo, don't look at me. Cannot put that on TV, but it was on Golf Talk Canada earlier today.
He also said, though, that the grappler jammed him up by not taking the flag out. So that's bad etiquette, too.
Horrible etiquette by the grappler.
I'm going to say, some guys are flag out guys, right? So
You're not, like, I'm not Matt Fitzpatrick. You know the flag's got to come out.
Look at how mad this guy is right here. He's looking around like, come on, dude.
Look at this.
I just can't believe
that the grappler made me do that.
Why?
It's amateur hour.
I'm just going to repeat what I said earlier. You were standing 2 feet from the flag. I'm not going to walk over there when I'm
he's not even a real cat.
I can't even defend him on this one because while that was going on, he was in here with us. I looked up and here's
Mark,
where I'm going.
Exactly.
What's he doing
exactly.
in here?
Well, here's the thing. Yes, I'm not a professional golfer, but when you're inside the ropes and you have a caddy system, it doesn't matter if I'm literally standing on the flag.
It's about respect.
If I'm standing on the flag, there's not too much I can do with it.
Yes.
For
next year, please go to school.
I will say this.
A YouTube video or something.
I will say this. There are times, I mean, not that I'm any kind of professional caddy, let's be honest here, but you're looking around. You get distracted.
I know.
There's a lot going on. There's smog. There's people.
There was one point I didn't mention this. The club head cover fell off my putter, and it was like halfway down the hole. I just looked at Grapp. I said,
come on.
I just pointed down the fairway. I said, look at that thing, dude. Can you please go and get that?
Sitting in that chair, we get disrespected all the time.
We always do.
I know.
That's right.
I know.
See, and this
is there any way
day.
We're going to keep it to good golf shots and the course and positive things?
Starting tomorrow.
Or is it going to be this PGA Tour?
No, no. Same thing as last year, right? They hijacked the beginning
of the
week.
Canadian Open just gets dumped on. I think everybody's probably had enough of it, no?
Same thing. Last year, we were all same deal. DJ, face of the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Classless act, right?
Right.
I mean, everybody has a choice to do what they want with their career. Putting the political side of this aside and how you feel about it morally or ethically, we talked that to death last year. But you don't leave a job that way. You're not the face of a brand and then just go light it on fire the week of their biggest event of the year, right? I think everybody had a bad taste in their mouth. It hijacked the tournament for the first couple days. Same thing happening this year. But once the ball goes in the ground, once we have a Canadian in the hunt on Thursday, Rory having a good day, whatever the storylines are, it's just like any other sports event. All that garbage will go back to the side. We don't talk about leaf management when the Leafs are on the ice.
Right, exactly. You're talking about the game. That's a really good example of that. I also think there's a situation here where it's almost like there's no such thing as bad press, where the world is talking about golf. So the world wants to watch what's going on with golf. They want to hear what NBC is going to say. They want to hear what CBS, totally. What Golf Talk Canada is saying, what we're saying. Like, even non-golf fans are like, what's going on over here?
Right.
And as a result, you may actually get people dragging in, watching, and paying attention this week that maybe they wouldn't otherwise.
You never know that. And, you know, I've spoken to a lot of our friends at Golf Canada. They've got this positive attitude. They're not flinched by any of this.
Tournament goes on.
There's not much else you can do.
Right. Good point there. Good point there. But they're expecting a record year this year.
Yep.
In terms of hospitality, tickets, corporate support. So we've every year since Hamilton, even post-pandemic, it's been a... And here we go again. So I expect huge crowds, big Canadian golf fans. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, tomorrow, the 14th year.
You guys
is
are
awesome.
Going to have fun here tomorrow. I'm going to be coming through here where you're on the air tomorrow, and this place is going to be rocking.
So. We were talking about how the front nine is not yielding. It doesn't look like it's going to be a whole lot, and then you go nuts on the back. Mm-hmm. What do you think at the end of Sunday, what the number is going to look like? Is it going to be 15? Is it going to be 25?
I think if the winds kick up like they did this afternoon, it's going to be somewhere between 15 and 17 under par. If the winds don't kick up, I mean, I put the over-under at 20.5, and most guys took the over. I talked to Adam Svensson. I talked to a bunch of the caddies. I talked to Justin Rose. They're all going over 20.5 under par unless those winds. This, when we were on, and you were coming through earlier today, and we were getting some heckling and whatnot going, the winds came through here. Our remote studio, this thing shook.
Yes.
I mean,
that did affect my putt.
I figured it was the wind.
Wind, yes.
That did have an effect.
A distraction.
Yeah.
So that could certainly change that number. And you're right, the front nine is going to be stubborn.
Right.
And you're going to see some record scoring on the back nine and some stubborn scoring on the front.
Rory McIlroy, you know, back to back winner. He won it last year. He's the star of the show. Is it good for business if he wins it again, or would you like to see someone else?
Well, I think the two biggest stories are Canadian breaks the jinx, right? 1954. Leaf fans think we have it bad with 67. Try 54 Canadian Open, right?
Right.
That's the biggest story, and Rory with a three-peat's the biggest story. And it's what's regardless of, you know, wanting a new name and whatnot, especially what's transpired this week, if he can somehow manage to go out and get the three-peat, I think it would be awesome. So one of those two stories grabs a headline without question. It's a great field. You know, we've got great players. You have Fleetwood. You've got Fitzpatrick. Young's in the field. Thigala's a guy to watch. I'm on Justin Rose this week. I think he's going to be sneaky out there. So and the whole Sammy Burns. Yeah, the RBC program. So there's lots of shields out there. So it could be numerous guys. But to answer your question, yeah, it's one of those two stories.
Yeah, I'd love to see a first-time winner, though. I'd love to see Thigala. I'd love to see Cam Young, like Fleetwood on the PGA Tour.
There's one thing to say towards that. Unlike Hamilton, unlike Glen Abbey especially, we've got no data here, right? No one has any kind of advantage that we've been here before. We know what gets it done. We know what to expect. Everybody in this field's got to learn this golf course in 4 days, and they're all starting at the same point. That certainly opens the door for a first-time winner and someone who doesn't have the experience. I remember we used to go to Glen Abbey every year, and there were guys that loved Glen Abbey. Jonathan Vegas, right? Back-to-back at Glen
Abbey.
Dustin Johnson. And it fit a certain style of play. The Bombers took advantage of it. They knew the golf course over the years. They had the advantage. We're not walking into that here.
So who has the advantage now then if it's a clean slate?
So you got two theories going on this property right now, depending on who you talk about. So the defense of this golf course, with the exception of some reverse camber fairways, which will reject some tee shots, obviously there's some rough, but these guys handle rough. The defense is in the quirky greens. These are old greens, and we're playing on three different nines compositing 18 holes. So getting comfortable and figuring out these greens is going to be very, very difficult. In fact, you might play 4 days around here and no one figures it out. So the theory is the first guy to figure out the putting surface is going to win. Or the opposite side of that is no one really gets comfortable on the greens. Nobody really truly learns them, so you don't get separation, and it just becomes a ball striker's golf course, and that's why a lot of guys this week are super high on Corey Connors from a Canadian standpoint.
Yeah, like the Bomber. Does it favor a Bomber with that rough out there?
I don't believe so. I don't think this. Listen, Rory spoke today. He spoke to Bob one-on-one, and while Bob ran to do that interview, we brought into Golf Talk Canada. We played it. It was the last question, obviously, because he's talking about everything else but golf. And Rory said there are spots, you know, where you can take advantage of your distance, but this is not one of those courses, to your point, though. This is not Glen Abbey where we're going to get down in the valley and you got to chew on these par fives. Not going to happen. There's only one par five on the front nine.
Well, and what I've noticed from just walking around is the holes that might have a swale or might have a speed slot, a lot of the guys are hitting irons anyway.
So
18,
it's not as,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's going to hit it into that little throat around the creek on 18.
It's going to be 5-iron, 5-iron.
I mean,
so that evens everything out. Like,
that's what I mean. If you take the driver out of the long guy's hand on some of those holes, where's the advantage in that?
Right.
So we'll see.
Yeah, Corey Connors, I mean, McIlroy played well last week. He faded on Sunday, but he played well. I don't think he's going to be distracted. I don't, because you mentioned it. Last year, there was the ultimate distraction. Liv was coming alive. This is a different level of it.
It almost fueled him last year.
It really did.
And you're wondering if it's almost having that fuel out of the tank now, in the sense that, in a way, this is over. In a way, now we're all going to learn what the world of golf is going to look like in 24 moving forward, and we're all kind of have more questions today than we have answers, right? Even the more the commissioner speaks, the more questions we have as opposed to answers.
Right.
So you wonder if McIlroy, with him not having that fuel, if it's almost going to work against him. People are saying, oh, he's calm now, he can take it off his plate. I don't know if that's what he needs.
Not sure how he's wired.
I know what he does need. Last week at Memorial, he had that tournament. He had one hand on the trophy. And
wedge.
Sunday, his wedge play and his putter was horrific.
Right.
How does a guy that good, have problems with a 58-degree lob wedge in his hands?
It's bizarre.
I can never figure it out.
You know, if you talk to swing people and whatnot, I don't necessarily buy into this narrative because he's worked on it. He's always been a real kind of two-plane guy, right? So on the driver, he takes it well outside, and then he drops it in the slot and creates this incredible torque and gets it underneath the plane and hits these ridiculous long drives, and that's how he creates so much distance for the size of his frame. He hits it by guys that are, you know, foot taller and weigh all this. But when you create all that movement in the backswing and change the plane and whatnot, when you get inside 100 yards and you're dealing with lines that are finer and specific flights of the ball and trying to hit those wedge shots, a lot of that, those redirection of mechanics can hurt you. Now, he's tried to get that out of his wedge game, and I don't know if it's just not natural to him or if he doesn't trust it. And on, because it was fine Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then all of a sudden you get closer to that late Saturday weekend, and do you trust this move that maybe isn't natural to you? Right?
Mark Sacchino of Golf Talk Canada joining us here. We're live at the RBC Canadian Open. So you guys are always, you know, making picks, right?
Yes.
And I know Scully's
some good, some bad.
Absolutely. Yourself and Bob and Scully, you've been picking a lot of winners this year. Owen and I are going to do our picks, you know, in about 10 minutes. Can give us a scoop or two? Who are you looking at?
Well,
here?
I am looking at Justin Rose. I kind of hinted to that.
Yes.
I also know that a little birdie told me there might be a new driver in the bag this week that he really likes.
Is that right?
That he's getting a few more miles per hour ball speed, but more important than that, the dispersion's tighter. So his misses are really good with this new driver.
Okay.
So Justin Rose, already a winner this year, right? First win since 2019 and won in Pebble Beach. Played well at the PGA. Golf course where you got to drive it well.
All right.
So he's kind of under the radar. I like him. Just trying to think from a Canadian perspective. I mean, I wouldn't be too surprised to see any of our guys. You know, Nick Taylor. No one's talking about Nick Taylor. Everybody's talking about Corey Connors,
guy,
right?
Nick Taylor. Yeah.
And who would you suggest, if it came down on Sunday, from a Canadian perspective, who's most prepared for the size of that moment?
I think Taylor all day.
Look what he did at Waste Management against Scottie Scheffler. Look what he won at Pebble Beach a few years ago, toe-to-toe. On
number one amateur in the world for a long time.
We've seen a lot of our Canadian guys.
You want to back out on Mac Hughes like that?
I'm not doing it. I love Mac.
He's my guy. He'll get it done.
I love
Sunday.
Mac, and he's got the fire in the belly, too. But the thing with Corey that we'll all be questioning is these close calls on Sunday, are they tools in the tool chest, or is it now turned into scar tissue? We'll have to figure that out. But Nick's got none of that. Nick just seems to thrive when the spotlight
is. He's in the hunt. He's
He is my boy.
I like him too. He's hard not to cheer for him.
Yep. All right, Mark. Well,
boys,
enjoy it, man.
I'll see you out there. When I come in through here, you'll be getting the wave and the PGA Tour radio heckle back at you.
Please
this
do.
Way, right?
By the way, can you answer this?
Yeah.
When there is lots of money on the line and you can't say anything, are they going? They're going to be able to hear us in here, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, we were kind of even like wondering that today, how close we are.
Because this guy gets ranting or raving,
yelling about Matthew's contract.
Yeah,
that'll
they're
be
in
happy.
The backswing McIlroy or something.
Well, and understandably so.
Of course. Come on, what do you want out of me? I don't care what they're doing.
Even this combo
too.
Right here, I don't know if it could fly if a guy's over a golf ball.
You know how many times a year I get waved off? Because I'm like one of the loudest, as you guys know. I mean, I get dirty looks from caddies every event. It's usually on a Thursday. They slap me right out of the gates and say, okay, we're watching
keep it
you
down
now for 4 days.
Keep it down, please. All right, Mark.
Boys, thanks, eh?
Enjoy yourself.
Have a great week.
Great
seeing
you. There he is, Mark Sacchino of Golf Talk Canada. He'll be here on the grounds all week. Golf Talk Canada's here. First Up's here, obviously, all morning as well from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., and we're going to be here tomorrow and Friday as well. Our picks are coming up, courtesy of TaylorMade. Our best bet's still to come as well. Overdrive continues.
live from the RBC Canadian Open, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, today's best bets are powered by FanDuel, looking at a SGP for the Canadian Open. All right, this is what we're looking at. You can find it up on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sahith Theegala, top 20. Corey Connors, top 20. My boy, Tommy Fleetwood, top 40. All right, that's our SGP for this tournament.
Your Connors, boy Fleetwood could win.
He absolutely could win. The way he like, for starters, he's a great player. It's not just that he looked good today, but he bombs the ball around. He's desperate for a win on the PGA Tour. Like, I'm leaning towards a first-time winner this week, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if that was Tommy Fleetwood. So, Fleetwood, top 40. Corey Connors, top 20. Sahith Theegala, top 20. Today's best bets powered by FanDuel. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today and find thousands of ways to wager. Please play responsibly. Must be 19-plus and physically located in Ontario. So, we have Mark Sacchino in here. Mark's going to be walking around with PGA Tour Radio, and he's following groups, and he's a man on the scene, and he does a great job at that. Golf Talk Canada will be here. First Up will be here. We'll be here tomorrow. It is go time tomorrow morning. Go time tomorrow morning. And we haven't made picks, so I think it's about that time.
Yeah.
You guys ready for that?
Ready to rock. Let's do it.
Just about time to fire that up. The Overdrive PGA picks are, of course, brought to you by our friends at TaylorMade Golf with TP5 and TP5X golf balls. If you find a TP5 on 3 right rough tomorrow, shout out.
Again.
That's my golf ball.
That's where you lost it the other day when I played with you.
Exactly where I lost it. Exact same place. I hit the same shot. I got up there, and I couldn't find either golf balls. But there's a TP5 waiting for you, TaylorMade. Shout out. All right, you want the first pick? I'll give it to you.
Very simple, Mac Hughes.
Pardon me?
Mac Hughes.
Mac Hughes is the first pick overall.
The combo of Mac Hughes and Jace Walker, his caddy, watch out. They're coming for you, Buffalo.
Okay, listen, I love Mackenzie Hughes. Do I have to go Canadian over the top? I'll go Canadian over the top.
You know, you can pick whoever you want.
No, I'll go Canadian over the top.
Go ahead.
Nick Taylor.
Wow.
Rory. I suckered you in.
Take McIlroy. I think it's going to be a first-time winner anyway. I do. I'm going to go with Cameron Young.
Fair enough.
I'm going Svensson.
Adam Svensson. Wow.
I'm going to keep it a Canadian theme.
I'm going to take my boy Tommy Fleetwood. Because he's my boy, Tommy Fleetwood.
That's your guy.
He's got one of the coolest caddies on tour, too. The guy had Nike high tops, cruising around, British guy. Awesome,
but
dude.
But you're also saying first-time winner.
Like, he blew darts out there, didn't he?
Well, he and the grappler are the two tallest human beings you've ever seen. Right, grappler, that guy, like, Fleetwood's caddy is taller than you, I think. He was massive.
Yeah, I was going to say he's at least 6'5", 6'6".
Like, and he loves getting after it, his caddy.
He, I think, loved being in Toronto. I think he was very, very fond of being here, right?
Big time.
All right, so I'm on Tommy Fleetwood.
So I've got Mac Hughes, Rory Svensson, Corey Connors.
You're all on
Canadian Open. Canadian Open, I think one of the guys are going to get it done.
Okay, I'm going to take Tyrrell Hatton.
You love that guy.
Tyrrell Hatton, he's a snap show, but I think if he keeps his head on straight here, he can win at this place.
I'm going to take my guy, and I'm going to send him a message tonight. Maybe he'll pop on tomorrow. Sahith Theegala.
Theegala.
I wanted Sahith. That is a very good pick. All right, how many picks have we had here?
I got my five-pack. That's my five.
Okay, so what do I have? I have Fleetwood, I have Nick Taylor, I have Hatton, and I have Tommy Fleetwood. I will take, with the final pick, after our boy Mark Sacchino spoke about the new driver that's coming out, Justin Rose.
Justin Rose. That's a good pick.
Yep, Justin Rose. Very good pick.
He could veteran his way around this golf
course. He could. He's been playing really well all year. There's a lot of – can I get my boy Michael Gligage? Can I take Gligage? Guy's a Burlington boy. He's a big Leaf
fan.
Fair
enough. How many picks
that's
are you
That's one
taking?
More. I got Gligage. I want another Canadian. You want one more pick?
Grappler, give
Sam
me a
Burns.
Guy. Yeah, oh, yes, Sammy Burns. Burns. I got him written down.
There you go, Sammy Burns. All right, Overdrive PGA picks are brought to you by the TP5 and TP5X golf balls from TaylorMade. Try it. What's the best that could happen? To learn more, visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca. All right, picks are in. We got the NBA Finals, Game 3 tonight. I am leaning Denver -3. I think they respond to win tonight.
Jays?
Jays, well, listen, you got Bassett has returned. You got a scenario here where they look good last night. Like the bats, they're starting to come alive. Gausman had a phenomenal outing last night. It's tough with this Houston team. Like this Houston team is a true,
they're legit,
true baseball team. But I could lean towards the Jays tonight. I think it's going to be a split, 4-game series. I think they probably take one of the next two. Houston walks out of here, taking 2 of 2, and you'll live with that if you're the Jays. Kick the can down the road, right? Now that Manoa's, that story's behind them. At this point, it's just
that
kind
story
of
behind
along.
Them. Hayes is probably better for everybody, well, including the player, all the rest
exactly,
of the players.
Exactly, it was awkward around. Like you could tell when Manoa like goes into the dugout, he's looking at replays on the iPad, and you could see all the guys like not around.
That's radioactive.
Last season, he was a guy that yucking it up. He didn't seem like a pitcher that kind of just sat by himself. He was a guy who was always kind of hanging around and in the middle. You're right. It was just a
tough
situation.
You played one of those individual positions. When you, if you lose it, you lose it, and he lost it.
Yeah.
And he's got to get it back. He's got to scratch and claw and get it back.
Loneliest place in the world.
Yeah. That's right.
Even on a team sport. It's incredible.
Especially when you're the man.
When you were the man and you're expected to continue to be the man, and it's not because it's old age. It's not because you can't do it anymore.
Right.
It's that.
Just got to figure it out again.
Yeah, man. It is a wild story. This Manoa story. Of all the possible stories leading into a new series or new season.
Do you remember the goalie Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
That guy lost it.
In a year. Like he went from, Jim Carrey won Rookie of the Year in the National Hockey, won Rookie of the Year in the minors, Rookie of the Year, I believe, in the NHL. And then like within 3-4 years was out of the league. Like out. That's it. They brought him into St. Louis. We had injuries. Grant Fuhr got hurt, so it was me and Jim Carrey playing. I never seen a guy get so frustrated. One time we were in practice, he allowed a goal. He threw his glove over the glass. Like, he was so mad. And then they started him against Calgary. He was playing unbelievable. And then he melted in the third, and he never played again.
Do you remember what his nickname was?
The Mask. The Mask.
No. The Net Detective.
The Net Detective.
The Net Detective.
Was he on that Caps team that went to the Cup final?
Yes.
Like, he was the guy that dragged them there, right? And they got swept
it
by...
It might have been Ole Kolzik.
No, Kolzik was that
I think it was Ole Kolzik.
Yeah.
But Jim Carrey...
Who did they get pumped by? Was it Detroit?
Detroit.
Yeah, they did get pumped.
Four straight.
Well, you know what it was? That was a Cinderella story, but...
Yeah.
Kolzik was Godzilla. Like, he was unbelievable.
Right. But this kind of feels similar to what's kind of going on right now.
Yeah. Man, this Jim Carrey. I'm looking. His last games were in St. Louis. I was on that team.
That's wild.
Never played again. Like, I think he retired.
Yeah. That's pro sports, man. If you lose your confidence, you know, it's any sport you play, but if you don't have confidence, you are toast.
Yeah.
Like, you are. That's
like anything
thing.
Else. It's not losing it. It's like, when am I going to get this back?
Right. When are you going to get it back in the most pressure situations? Like, the amazing thing, Grappler and I were talking about this today, watching Tommy Fleetwood play. Like, this guy is out for a walk in the park. It's the easy. Him playing golf when it's not serious, these guys are so good.
Oh, they'll shoot 64 for fun.
Like, nothing. It's just right down the middle, up there, that'll roll in. See you later, guys. Where, you know, is there a beer around? You know, what leads them to shoot 74
pressure.
Is the pressure.
Right.
Is you're now the crowd's out, the money's on the line, there's a leaderboard.
Right.
Guys are chasing you, or guys are pushing you.
The ultimate separator.
It's the ultimate separator. And, like, it was amazing to watch them because, obviously, they're pros. Obviously, they're so much better.
Right.
But, like, every shot is just butter.
It
like,
is. And I played
perfect.
With guys that struggled to make it, and they were on, like, sunshine tours when I lived in South Florida. And I played with them during the week, 65 every time.
Yeah.
It was automatic, 7 birdies, not many bogeys, and it was around 65.
Yeah.
And then I would say, how'd you make out? And then we missed the cut. Couldn't have shot 75, 77. And it's just,
it's
how do you flip the switch? 12 shots different.
Now those,
pressure.
Yeah.
But those courses they're going to are different, too. They're playing longer and stuff,
but at
right?
the end of the day, they just, like, they were great guys and they were friends of mine. They couldn't hack it, man. They couldn't hack it. Those lesser tours.
That happens in every single sport.
Wow, we haven't heard of the block party.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how with the LIV stuff, what he did at Colonial, like no one's taught. Like I haven't seen his picture. It's even in the country.
I haven't seen him on the golf course.
I haven't seen him. No one's talking about him. Nothing. Like, wow. And he's up here, and that's how quickly things can turn.
Yeah. I didn't see he was in your picks either. So.
Shockingly, no one. I would love to see the odds for. He's not going to make the cut. I can't imagine. Like, it's got to be big minus money.
Is that
for
where
him to make
you're not
cut.
A 500 on that? Nobody's putting money on that.
No, that's the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I'll do 250. He makes the cut.
Sure, done. You got it. All
good
right?
Playing today.
Good plan. Good stuff. Grappler, thank you for everything, buddy.
Yeah,
you're a legend.
Day.
We love the Grappler. He was great.
Don't kid yourself. Today. When he goes home, he's telling his buddies never again.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. And that's if so.
That's fair.
If that's the way it's going to be,
it
that's
goes
the way
both
it's
ways.
Be. No, I'm on board. Let's lock it in
look
for Hamilton Golf and Country Club 2024.
I don't see why not. I do not see why not. All right. Go time tomorrow, RBC Canadian Open, Game 3 of the Cup Final. We're going to be coming off a Jays game. We're coming off Game 3 of the NBA Finals. It's going to be a fun one tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're out of here. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes for helping out. Everyone for tuning in, radio, TV, podcast, or web. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at?
Great Chip on 13.
Thank you.
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Introducing TSN Plus.
What a game changer.
Canada's new home for PGA Tour Live.
Are you kidding me?
Exclusive data-enhanced feeds, plus more goals, dunks, aces, and speed. Visit tsn.ca/tsnplus to learn more.